everyone. Good morning. Welcome into the Farzi Show. My name is Mark Farzi. This is the Farzi Show. It's presented by Steven Singer, Steven Singer Jewelers. How do you feel this morning? Do you feel bitter that your baseball team is one loss away from losing the World Series? They lost last night. They had opportunities yet again. And unfortunately, well, they didn't get no hit, so there's that. But do you feel bitter that they're one loss away from losing the World Series? Or do you feel sweet that the Philadelphia Eagles, for the first time in their history, are 8-0? Do you feel bitter or sweet this morning? I don't really believe in middle of the road. You got to pick one, because I feel bitter this morning. And I know there are some people, including one Atlanta Braves fan who tweeted me last night, how could you guys complain? Your team's in the World Series. And I'm like, that's exactly why those guys won, like, what, 14 division titles and only one World Series? And they were totally fine with it. But in all seriousness, I feel bitter because I saw the Phillies at least bounce back to the point where they at least had opportunities to score in the ballgame, and they failed to do that last night. They got the two runs. They got the Kyle Schwarber leadoff home run, which was great to respond to a little bobble from Brandon Marsh in center field to lead things off from Jose Altuve, giving him third base. He later scores, of course, to give the 1-0 lead to the Astros. Schwarber comes back, ties it up with a solo home run, which was great. Gene Segura late in the ballgame, he gets the RBI single, which was great. Now it's a 3-2 ballgame. I'm bitter over it. I'm bitter because there's bad at-bats. I'm bitter because there seemed to be things that the Phillies could have prevented or capitalized on, but did not. The last two decisions, big decisions that Rob Thompson has made regarding this pitching staff, whether it's giving Aaron Nola one more batter, even though he was getting tattooed the night before. Now, did they lose the game because of this? No, they got no hit. But just specifically speaking about Rob Thompson's decisions, usually they have paid off throughout this postseason. The last two big pitching decisions have not paid off. One, leaving Nola in for an extra batter after Jose Altuve, allowing him to load the bases and not going to Alvarado early. And then last night, the plan, I at least thought, was what it was in previous starts with Noah Syndergaard. Give him three innings, and once the three innings are over, he's done. That's it. You go to the pen after him. That is, you continue the bullpen game, I should say. Instead, he leaves him in for one more batter, and he says that was the only batter he was going to face, Pena, and Pena deposits the baseball over the left field wall, giving the Houston Astros their third run of the ballgame and would end up being the game-winning home run, the game-winning run. Didn't pay off this time. The pen after that was fantastic. They held down the fort. Connor Brogdon especially did a wonderful job in last night's ballgame. And you got opportunities to score. And the opportunity I'm going to go to here is in that eighth inning when things started to fall a little bit the way of the Phillies. 3-1 ballgame going into that eighth inning. Astros, of course, are leading. Nick Castellanos steps up to the plate, goes down in the count 0-2. And for the bad at-bats that I just referenced, this was a great at-bat. Goes down 0-2, stays in the count, stays in the at-bat, works a walk after being down 0-2. Then Alec Boehm. Oh, my God. The man had two hits last night, so I shouldn't be pissed. But this is where you can't look at it and go, well, the box score says he had two hits. No. This was a clutch at bat for Alec Boehm. And as I'm watching the game, this was, excuse me, clutch situation for Alec Boehm to come through. Okay. Four pitches. As I'm watching the game last night, none of those four pitches looked to be in the strike zone. I go back and I check StatCast after the game, and it actually had it in the strike zone, but it did not look in the strike zone on TV. So if you go back and reference it, just know it's wrong in the play-by-play that ESPN gives you. I'm watching the game last night. You're watching the game last night. Oh, by the way, I did have my two TVs set up. I had the Phillies over here, and I had the Eagles over here. I'm watching both simultaneously. I'm literally doing this real quick. I'm just doing this, flipping between my pages to take my notes like a nerd, but that's what I got to do because, as you guys know by now, I'm scatterbrained as all hell. So Alec Boehm's at the plate, four pitches, none of them in the strike zone, and he swings it all but one. Swings it all but one, and he strikes out. And not only did he just swing at these pitches, but he was clearly, clearly with Nick Castellanos on first base, trying to give the Phillies or trying to tie it up with one swing of the bat. He strikes out. Bryson Stott then steps up. And Bryson Stott, who has taken some pretty great ABs, which has been, other than his defense, has been the best part of his contribution to this World Series team, is that he's been, you know, grinding out at bats, which is great to see from a young ball player. But he works a walk, something Alec Boehm should have done. So now all of a sudden it's possible that the bases are loaded in this situation with nobody out. But Boehm just going up there, hey, swinging a miss, yeah, swinging a miss, yeah, pitching my eyes. Yeah, swing and a miss. Bryson Stott, he works the walk. Gene Segura steps up, RBI single into right center field. You're feeling a little good. You're feeling like they got a little momentum here. It's now 3-2. Now you got runners at the corners with one out. Presley then comes in. I don't know what got into Brandon Marsh. Maybe it was that he was feeling good about hitting a home run the other night. Maybe it's the fact that he's actually hit some home runs here with the Phillies. Maybe he's actually been a good hitter with the Phillies. I don't know if he felt like he needed to get to make up for his little bobble in the first inning. I don't know what got into it, but he went up there similar to Alec Boehm, and he was hacking. The only difference was those pitches were in the strike zone. So, like, he had the swing, but there's some better swings you could take right there. And, you know, they even talked about it on the broadcast about how, all right, now you got to shorten up your swing. You make contact, you're probably scoring a run. You're probably tying the ball game. Brandon Marsh did not make contact. Brandon Marsh struck out. Then Kyle Schwarber steps to the plate in that eighth inning. Two outs, runners at the corners. One-run ball game. Kyle Schwarber, I don't know what he did. I think he's a great guy, but he pissed off somebody because two nights ago during the no-hitter, he just missed what would have been a game-changing, at least game-changing RBI double down the line. And it just went foul. Last night, works a good at bat, takes a hack at a pitch that probably would have been at least a game-tying double, maybe take the lead depending on how that ball is going to bounce around in the corner. And Kyle Schwarber tattoos a ball down the first baseline where Trey Mancini gloves it and steps on first base to end the inning and end the threat. Trey Mancini looked terrified that that ball was coming his way. Terrified. They showed the replay of it. He was like, ugh! Like, if you, for the people of the podcast, this is a real scary face. And he gloves it, steps in the bag, and that's it. If that ball got by him, oh, man. Astros fans who have not been impressed by at the least by Trey Mancini when he was traded from the Orioles to the Astros. Why did we make that trade? Bad trade. Trey Mancini hasn't done anything. And you're right, he hasn't done anything. And then all of a sudden, out of nowhere, he makes that play. The ball hit his mitt more than he caught the ball. But if that ball got by him and he had that expression on his face, ooh, today would not be a good day for Trey Mancini. Today would be a bad day for Trey Mancini. But nonetheless, he made the play. And I just looked at that. It was one of those plays that you just stare at your TV because you can't believe what just happened. You're trying to wrap your brain around the idea that you had first and third with one out and you weren't able to make contact with one batter. And then when you absolutely crushed a pitch, albeit on the ground, a one-hopper to Trey Mancini, it gets gloved in what should have been maybe another situation where you have maybe second and third in a tie ball game now with two outs. And then Rhys Hoskins steps to the plate. And by the way, Rhys Hoskins. I want to say it was the sixth inning. Flips back through my notes. Rhys Hoskins is flailing at pitches. His base is loaded. Yeah, second inning. Excuse me, much earlier in the ballgame. Second inning last night. Bottom of the second. Alec Boehm's at the dish right there. He pops out to the third baseman. Then you have Bryson Stott. He pops up to the shortstop. Then Gene Segura gets a single. Hey, Gene, where do you get things going? Brandon Marsh works the walk. Oh, now you got two runners on all of a sudden. Oh, Kyle Schwarber. He works a walk. Base is loaded. Rhys Hoskins steps to the plate. First two pitches out of the strike zone, Rhys Hoskins flails at those pitches. I guess he thought they were going to go to the outside corner of the plate, and there he is taking his hacks. Then the final pitch of that at bat, called third strike on the outside corner of the plate. Rhys Hoskins, for all his shortcomings, has at least been pretty decent at protecting the plate in those situations. Not that he's been getting hits in those situations, but he at least protects the plate in those situations. And if he is hacking at pitches that are on the outside corner, but outside the strike zone, and then he takes one that's actually in the strike zone, perfect pitch by Justin Verlander, and he doesn't even offer at it. And I'm like, what the, how do you not even offer? And I angrily tweet that. You're like, it's Hoskins, he sucks. And I'm like, yes, I understand that he hasn't been great. I get it. But that's at least a pitch that he'll at least take a swing at, especially when he's doing it in two previous swings at that at bat. And then the one that's actually the strike zone, no thanks. Base is loaded. Fourth inning, Peña's home run. We talked about that. Then things kind of go into cruise control for a minute there. Sixth inning, Philly's getting into some trouble there. They're able to work their way out of it. Another Schwarber at bat. He ended up grounding out to second baseman there with runners on first and second. Phillies at that point in the sixth inning, when Schwarber grounded out to second, Phillies were 0-for-4 with runners in scoring position with nine men left on base, and that was just in the sixth inning of last night's ballgame, and their only run across that plate was the Schwarber home run to that point. Dominguez came in, did a great job. They were able to get themselves out of jams, and that was awesome. Eighth inning, we just went over, and then the ninth inning, I was thinking to myself going in that ninth inning, and I saw everyone saying on Twitter, it's over. And I'm like, you know what? I'm not just going to give up on this team. Is it probably over? It's probably over. But I'm not going to give up on this team of destiny. So I'm thinking to myself, all right, here you go. Even with Schwarber grounding out to end the bottom of the eighth inning, that means in a one-run ball game after you have Eflin get through, Hensley, McCormick, Maldonado. Gets through them. Altuve as well. Got the double play on that great play by Alec Boehm to end the top of the ninth inning. They go into the bottom of the eighth. And I'm thinking to myself, it's a one-run ball game. It's your last game, your last half inning most likely at Citizens Bank Park. You got Hoskins coming to the plate, JT Realmuto, and you got Bryce Harper. That's who's due up. We've been talking about instant offense with this baseball team throughout the season. Hoskins steps to the plate, strikeout. JT Realmuto steps to the plate. And rather than give you my reaction to this, if you haven't seen it yet, this is the Eagles' reaction to JT Realmuto's just short of maybe one more foot. You're talking about him at least being on second base. Two more feet, maybe you're talking about this game being tied at 3-3, and maybe they're still playing baseball right now. But this is the Eagles' reaction to JT Realmuto's near double, maybe a couple more feet home run to tie it up. Eagles in the locker room in Houston last night after their win. Yeah, that was pretty much all of us last night. I like the idea of the teams pulling for each other. You're rooting for the same people I am. Love it. But man, you saw it on JT's face. You saw him put his hands on the air. He did what they call the sad cobra, hands on the head and the elbows out. And Chaz McCormick. And I thought to myself, you know what? Of course it is. Of course it's Chaz McCormick. Of course it's one of us. Kid grew up in the area. Gentleman grew up in the area. Phillies fan, went to Citizens Bank Park. I believe they hang out all the time, him and producer Jim, PJ. They're just best friends. I think he's actually at PJ's house right now. Be like, see that catch? No, I'm kidding. But Chaz McCormick goes up and makes that catch. Great catch. Great play. Of course, it was one of us. Two outs now in the bottom of the ninth inning. Bryce Harper steps up, gets hit by the pitch. He looks so pissed off that he got hit by the pitch. Bryce Harper last night when he got hit, my brother used to laugh every time Matt Stairs would draw a walk in a pinch hit situation, because he would always joke that Matt Stairs had no interest in being on base. He just wanted to hit a home run and then go sit down. So it was like, damn it, I walked, and he'd have to trot down the line and stay on the bases. That's how Bryce Harper looked last night. That's what it reminded me of. He got hit. I'm like, all right, good. You got to run around base, but damn, I'd rather him take one more swing at least. So he gets up there. Then Nick Castellanos grounds out to end it to the shortstop. And that's it. That's the last time we'll see the Phillies at Citizens Bank Park in the 2022 season. And yeah, I'm happy that they are where they are. And if you would have told me before the season started that they're going to be in the World Series, that's great. But here's why I hate the argument of, if I would have told you that they were going to be the World Series, you would be pretty happy. Well, yeah, but we don't get a parade. We don't get a citywide party. We don't get that for being in the World Series. You know, we had a nice little party on Broad Street with the night they made it in the World Series. That was cool. But we don't get a citywide shutdown parade for making the World Series. And that's what I'm rooting for. That's why we're all in it, right? That's the fact that we like the sport itself, the fact that we want our team to do well. No doubt about that. And the fact that we want to be part of this community, that we all get to party together, man. We get to hug strangers. For all the crap we've been through over the last couple of years, that'd be nice to have that kind of experience. Maybe the Eagles will do it. Maybe the Sixers will do it. Bad news about James Harden yesterday. Maybe the Flyers will do it. No? Okay. Union will give us something. I think the Union will give us something. But when it comes to what we were experiencing last night with this baseball team and the retrospective I was doing, even though they got hopefully two more games left, your expectations change as things go on. And no matter what happens, especially if they lose the World Series, no matter what, is that just some consolation prize to make the World Series and then you still feel good? No. Okay, yeah, you might feel good later as the offseason goes on. But if they end up losing this World Series, which things aren't looking good right now, the fact that they got the next at least two games in Houston, your expectations change as you see this team try to fight. Getting no hit in the World Series, not a good look. Even if you are an 87-win team and not a lot of people had high expectations for you going into this World Series, yeah, no hit, no bueno. And then the crazy game of inches it could become, whether it's JT Realmuto's home run, whether it's Kyle Schwarber hitting a foul ball down the right field line that was just barely foul, or it's Trey Mancini picking a sharply hit ground ball to his direction, a one hopper to his direction that would have at least tied the game. Your expectations change. If these little things go the right way, if Alec Boehm takes a better at bat in that eighth inning, what happens? How does it really turn out? Then you got Hoskins coming up again, probably another strikeout, but maybe it turns out differently. The thing that I go back to, the number one reason they're down in this series, you could definitely point to the bats, no question about that. But man, Aaron Nola and Zach Wheeler have had three starts to this point in the series. Now, maybe Zach Wheeler goes out there and totally redeems himself tonight. Tomorrow night. Maybe Zach Wheeler goes out there and totally redeems himself. And you know what? That'd be great. I would absolutely love that. But to this point, three starts, and they've gotten hit around. If you were to tell me that the Phillies won two games in the World Series, two games to this point in the World Series, and Zach Wheeler and Aaron Nola have both been hit around in three starts, I would have been like, how the hell did they win those two games? Well, the answer is they mashed. Then they fought hard and they came back. That's what they did in game one of this series. And then in game three of this series, they mashed. And then after that, no more mashing. Here's where we're at right now with the Phils. I don't have much post-game for you because it's all the same stuff. It's all, well, we don't. We got to put our nose to the ground. We got to win. We got to work hard. We got to focus. This is what it is. Whatever. I got Schwarber, who I think had the best things to say after last night's ballgame. But last night, Hoskins, Realmuto, Castellanos, 0 for 14. Castellanos did hit the ball hard. He crushed a pitch to Pena there at short, but didn't really. Nope. Didn't. Still wasn't a hit. 0 for 14 last night. And that means with the no-hitter, just going back over the last two games, Hoskins, JT Realmuto, Nick Castellanos, 0 for 25. 0 for 25 in the last two ballgames. Last night, Phillies, of course, lost 3-2. They were 1 for 7 with runners in scoring position, and they left 12 men on base in last night's ballgame. That's not how you're going to win it, folks. That's not how you're going to win it. But I saw this stat last night on postgame as for a reason to be optimistic. The last two World Series where they went back to the team with home field advantage. So in 2016, that team was up 3-2 at the time. The last two World Series where that happened. 2016, it was the then Cleveland Indians, now Cleveland Guardians. 2016, the Guardians lost the Chicago Cubs. The Houston Astros in 2019. Houston Astros, no way. That's who they're playing now. They lost that World Series. So let's hope it's three in a row. And let's hope it's two in a row for this Houston Astros ball club to lose after going home, being up in a series 3-2. I'll cross my fingers for that optimism. Here's Kyle Schwarber on what needs to happen with the Philadelphia Phillies.
It is what it is, right? This, it's not over. There's still got another game to be played. So the biggest thing right now is, you know, sure, can you be frustrated? Absolutely, you can be. But we got a day to flush that away. And we got to be able to come out ready to go for game six.
Flush, flush, flush. Everyone's flushing. We're all flushing. A lot of flushing the last 2 days. A lot of flushing the last 2 days. That takes you into the mindset of this Phillies team. And let's see how they perform with Zach Wheeler on the hill. As I said, and I was having this conversation with some of my buddies going into it. I talked to a little bit about it yesterday. I would have liked to have seen Zach Wheeler start last night instead of Noah Syndergaard. Now, pitching wasn't the problem. You only allowed three runs. You got it. With this lineup, you got to hit more. I think we all know that. But the Phillies must really think Zach Wheeler is only going to be able to help this ball club if he is at maximum rest. He had more rest in his last start. It didn't work out so well. They gave him a little bit more rest this time around with the rain delay or the postponement, whatever. They still had the bullpen game, and he still didn't start. So now he's going to get the extra rest to see if he can bounce back and do what he needs to do in order to help this team force a game seven of the World Series. I know we'll all be standing by with bated breath for tomorrow night's 8:03 start time in Houston for game six of this series. Moving on to a little bit of a lighter topic, a little bit of a funner topic. The Philadelphia Eagles are 8-0. Somebody hit me up last night and said, it's weird that the consolation prize after last night's Phillies game is that the Eagles are 8-0. And I'm thinking, damn, man. I don't even feel like giddy that the Eagles are 8-0. Like, I haven't picked them to lose this season. I haven't looked at a game and go, oh, they don't have it this one. Nope, they don't have it. And look, they're favored for the rest of the series season. That's amazing. But I will say this, watching last night's game, Seth Joyner made a great point on the Jacob Media pregame show, where, by the way, side note, I kept on calling Miles Sanders shady. I was doing this comparison between the two where I was watching highlights of both, and I guess I just got shady stuck in my head three times in the pregame show. Yeah, great job, Farzetta. Anyway, so I'm doing the pregame show yesterday, and Seth Joyner says, all right, so everyone knows you could run on the Houston Texans, right? Yes, of course. Everyone knows you could run on the Houston Texans. I did a little stat of some of the running backs that they have faced recently, and they averaged just the running backs, their top running backs. So if they had a bell cow back like Derrick Henry, or a team had like a dual threat like Robinson and Etienne for the Jaguars, what they combined to do, I did like their top running back comparisons, right? 137 yards on average per game is what the Houston Texans were giving up on the ground just to running backs to this point in the season, going to last night's game, with a touchdown. 137 yards on average and more than a touchdown per game to just the running backs. So I'm like, oh, yeah, LeSean McCoy going to eat tonight. I just did it again. Miles Sanders going to eat tonight. And he didn't eat as much as I wanted him to eat. He still looked full, but he didn't get as many yards as I thought he would. But he still had himself a great game, had a touchdown. That was great. Nice to see. But the thing that really stuck out to me, so Seth Joyner's point to this was that if everyone knows they can run on you, what are you going to do? You're going to gear up to stop the run. So what do the Eagles do? As Seth predicted, they come out and they start throwing the football. They get down the field on a 91-yard, 18-play drive to respond to an opening touchdown, jeez, by the Houston Texans, which was the first touchdown they had scored in their opening possession. Cool. I heard Al Michaels say that. I go, well, here comes a touchdown. Touchdown. So sure enough, they go up 7-0. Eagles respond with an 18-play drive, 91 yards. That was great to see. Good hustle to the Philadelphia Eagles in that. And then from that point on, Jalen Hurts looked like he was just in a rhythm last night. And I can't get over that part of the game. I can't get over Javon Hargrave and what he was able to do in last night's game. Every time they needed a sack, he got three sacks. He's got your back last night. He was in the backfield left and right. I saw, I didn't even know that Jeff McClain was talking about how you didn't even have Javon Hargrave over the center for most of the game. They made the switch. Next thing you know, Hargrave starts to eat even more, gets two more sacks in that game. I was blown away by his performance. I was blown away by how cool Jalen Hurts looked throughout this game. Dallas Goedert, of course, had a great game last night as well. But I'm watching this game, and the rhythm that Jalen Hurts was in looked like a rhythm we have not seen him in this season. Usually the big games that he's had, and last night wasn't a huge game by any means. He had 243 yards, two touchdowns, so that was good. 21 of 27. But the presence he had in the pocket, the patience he had in the pocket, the accuracy he had from the pocket was phenomenal. The accuracy he had rolling out to the sideline, the accuracy he had over the middle of the field, the slant routes again. It was on point throughout the game last night. And it looked like a tutorial on how to play quarterback. He was so comfortable. The only thing I didn't like was the fumbles. And I believe he had two in total. He lost one, first turnover since the interception he had against the Jaguars, I want to say. But he overall in his passing game was great. And I was watching this guy play yesterday, and I'm like, he is just reveling in this moment of playing at home. And for the first time after the game, you heard him kind of be in the moment. He did talk about in postgame how they have plenty to improve upon. They got plenty to work on. 8-0 is nothing. But what he had to say about playing in Houston, you could tell this win and the way he played in Houston got him in the feels. Here is Jalen Hurts after the game, actually being a little reflective on the victory.
There's rare rarity in me reflecting on things and not having emotion towards it, but I'm proud that my family got to see that today. I'm proud my dad got to see that, and I know that's special to him.
That's what I want to hear. You know, be in the moment every once in a while. Enjoy it. You got your family down there, you're from there, and you go out there and you ball out. I love that. I absolutely love that. And when I think about the improvements he's made this year, and it's going to get talked about in every game, I just think about how this has been the bar for other athletes in this city. About how you have things, like I'm a firm believer that you have to acknowledge a problem to correct a problem. I think Jalen Hurts went in this offseason looking at things to correct in his game, and then we've just seen the proof in the pudding with him coming into this season and how well he has performed to this point. The Eagles have never been 8-0 to start a season. Never. 1933 was their first year. They've never been this perfect, this deep into the season. And what I love about this team, above all stats and even above the record, because without this, they wouldn't have the record. And that's the mentality of this locker room. And I credit Nick Sirianni for his leadership, and I credit Nick Sirianni for knowing when to step away and let the leaders of this football team take over, the player leaders on this football team take over. A guy like Jason Kelsey, a guy like Fletcher Cox, knowing when to say things, knowing how to work. Like, for instance, telling Robert Quinn, we work out here. You know, we work hard here. We practice hard here, which is what Fletcher Cox told Robert Quinn. Hey, welcome to the pack. Hey, we work out. We practice hard here. Robert Quinn, that's all I need to know. That sets the tone. That lets you know what club you're in now. They're not 8-0 for nothing. And I'll say it again. I've never seen a hungrier 8-0 team. I've never seen a hungrier undefeated team. I've never seen a team that's not at all amused with themselves being 8-0. And they shouldn't be, because, hey, guess what? Just like the Phillies making the World Series, we don't get a parade for just making it. We get a parade for winning it. And that's what we're rooting for, bottom line. This is one of my favorite things. This is one of my favorite things. I got to show this. And I didn't see this till this morning. But I was checking some of the game highlights, refreshing everything in my mind. It was great. But I saw this come up on Thursday Night Football, the post-game show. And they have Jalen Hurts sitting up there with Jason Kelce. I play this for two reasons. One, the entire nation, when talking about the Philadelphia Eagles, they go, "Hey, no, that's amazing. What are they going to lose? So when are they going to not be great? When are they going to suck? When is the time we're going to mail it in and be terrible?" If you're a player and a sports fan, because I believe you have to have a sports fandom part of you as well. Not, you can't just be a player, because there's some players, believe it or not, they get done practice. They get done a game. They go home. They're just gaming. They're just playing Call of Duty. They're binge watching something on Netflix. They're taking care of the kids. They're helping with the wife, whatever it might be. You know what they're doing? They're not watching football. They're not watching ESPN. They're not listening to the guys like me. They're not doing that. They're just going home and they're enjoying their lives with sports not even being a part of it in their personal life. So what I'm saying is some players aren't fans, and that's fine. As long as they perform on the football field, that's fine. But there are players that are very big sports fans, and they do always have ESPN on, and they always have something on, and they're always listening to it. And you know what they're always hearing? You know what they're always being asked about? So what are you guys going to lose? When are you guys going to be terrible at your sport? When are you not going to be perfect? When are you going to have a game where just nothing goes right? Tell me that. And I was like, well, damn, why am I focusing on the negativity? So I play this for two reasons. One, to illustrate the point from Tony Gonzalez, here is the question. So when are you guys going to lose, basically? And then the other, if you listen to the background while Jason Kelce's talking, just to further demonstrate how absolutely in friggin' credible Philadelphia Eagles fans are who made the trip to Texas. Here is the post-game show from the prime people. Here we go.
Here, when will they lose? How do you stay focused and block all the noise out and keep the goal in mind that I'm sure it's to win a world championship?
I mean, you know, I think we all saw the game out there. We got plenty to improve on. And, you know, we're just every single day when we go back in there, we're trying to just get better. We know that we can play so much better than we have already. We know there's stuff to work on. And you can't get caught up in the noise. You know, in this league, it doesn't matter what happened before. All that matters is what you prove each and every week. You got to go out there and earn it every Sunday, every Thursday, every Monday. Whenever you're playing, you got to go earn it in the NFL. And that's what our motto has been the whole season.
When will you lose? Dallas sucks. Dallas sucks. When will you lose? Well, we got a lot to improve upon. I believe it. A lot of times it's just talk. You don't believe it when a player or athlete's talking about it. You know what I mean? It's just talk. You look at it and you're like, oh, yeah, they're feeling themselves. They're a little overconfident. Not with this team, not with this leadership group. And that's why, look, you're going to have a long layoff here. The Philadelphia Eagles are going to have a long layoff here. You get essentially almost two bye weeks. That's what the Eagles have going into now this long week off. And when they come back, they're going to be facing, yet again, the Washington Commanders. This time it'll be at home, and it'll be another prime time kickoff, Monday night. So you don't even play the following Sunday. You have another day off to play Monday. That's what you got going on. Whatever they're going to do, I highly doubt they come out of this other long layoff, this mini bye week, if you will, and they come out with any type of attitude of, we got this. I know Taylor Heinicke is going to be the starting quarterback. It's going to be a little bit of a different look from the Washington Commanders. Hey, who knows? Maybe they're even sold by them with Dan Snyder now, supposedly they're flirting with the idea of finally selling the team. Now, speaking of bittersweet, it's a little bittersweet. He's a creep. Should have known an NFL team. It shouldn't be in the public spotlight. But on the other hand, I kind of like the Commanders sucking at football. So that's a give and take there. So Eagles are going to face the Commanders. They're favored in that game. They're favored against the Colts. They're favored against the Packers. the Titans game, I know a lot of people are looking at as the game that they could have trouble with. And if you look at last night's game, you can see why. If you have Pierce doing what he was doing last night against this football team, imagine what a guy like Derrick Henry could do against this football team. Because as you're watching that game last night, you are thinking, damn, Pierce is one hell of a fierce runner. 27 carries last night against the Eagles. 139 yards gained on the ground. Over 5 yards per carry is what that evens out to. And I'm watching Damian Pierce, and I knew he was a good running back. He wasn't, like, blowing people away, like, throughout the entire season. He only had, I think, 450 yards, which isn't terrible at all. It's good. But, man, what a violent runner. Fourth-round pick out of Florida. Violent runner is what came to mind watching him last night. And hopefully by that Titans game, which I doubt, you have Jordan Davis back. But you could tell that you really missed him last night. They were running through the middle of that field like it was nothing. Middle of that line of scrimmage like it was nothing at times. And even when there was contact, Pierce was just like, yep, to hell with that. I'm going to keep going. And that's what he did. So if there's one thing that raised my eyebrows in a negative way from last night's football game, it was that they got to do something about this run defense. Their pass defense is great. And you had CeeDee Deuce come up with a big interception last night for you. James Bradberry had a good interception for you last night towards the end of that game that just nullified anything the Texans were doing that would be at all optimistic, inspire any confidence in them. So they had the two big turnovers last night. You were able to get after the quarterback with Javon Hargrave. And really, you handled your business when you needed to handle your business. But everything else in this game was great, except for the run defense. And the run defense later in the season, we're getting ahead of ourselves, far ahead of ourselves here. But, man, if you're looking at that team, at that Titans game, that's a game that does have me just a little bit worried. So we'll see what happens, and that's far down the line. But Eagles, please don't do what I just did and look down the line. I have something else I wanted to get to there. No, that was it. Now, you just heard the fans in the stands behind Jason Kelce chanting Dallas sucks. In the morning rush, by the way, I got a fun little story about Dallas sucks. I'll get to that a little bit later. Nick Sirianni was very touched by the amount of fans that came down there to Houston to watch this game.
I can't say enough. I can't say enough about this city and its fans and the way that we traveled. And, man, I tried to say a thank you to as many of them as I possibly could. I would love to have a drink or high five every one of them. But obviously there's too many of them in the stands for me to do that. So I said thank you to as many of them, but thank you. Thank you, Philly fans. Thank you, everybody in attendance. Thank you for the support. Unbelievable.
That was Nick Sirianni. He loves this fan base. He said it many times. He loves this fan base. He's like, oh, what's a coach going to say? For him to go over to the fans, for him to high-five fans, for him to see Jalen Hurts' family, for him to see all the everybody, you could tell that he's touched by it all. He's absolutely 1,000 bazillion % touched by it all. And he's a passionate man. He's a fiery man. He absolutely loves it. And for him to acknowledge a fan base like that is great. He's talked about it with the Phillies. He's talked about it, of course, with his own team. It's just a great sports city. And, it makes me think of J.J. Redick when he signed here in Philadelphia, that he's never played before he signed in Philadelphia. He never played in a real, like, true sports city up until he played in Philadelphia. And, man, that rang true as he was here, didn't it? And now Nick Sirianni is acknowledging how much of a sports craze city this is. This is nothing that we're just learning. We've known this. We understand how this city operates. But, man, when you see a coach actually acknowledge it, and somebody who is not familiar with us outside of the NFL, when you see him acknowledge it and embrace it and tip his cap to it, it's a good feeling. It makes you feel like you're heard. It makes you feel like you're a part of it even more. And I love Nick Sirianni talking about that, taking over stadiums left and right. Miles Sanders had himself one hell of a game last night. Didn't go off the rails like 219 yards like Derrick Henry, unfortunately, but still 17 carries, 93 yards, and a touchdown. Could have been even more last night, but he averaged over 5.5 yards per carry. Miles Sanders, by the way, last night on being 8-0 seems unimpressed with this Eagles team.
Yeah, it's a blessing, honestly. It's a blessing. It's not easy to win in this league. Happy that we got 8 out the way. And all we're trying to do. We're on a bigger and better thing still, but we're still trying to take it one game at a time. We still got a long season for a long rest of the season and a division game coming up. So we got a lot of stuff that we got to focus on more than being 8-0.
Miles Sanders being 8-0. Still more work to be done. Let me tell you about Steven Singer of Steven Singer Jewelers, the other corner of 8th and Walnut, right there on Jewelers Row. Home of the perfect price. Now, what's the perfect price? Other jewelers like to mark things way up just to mark it down a couple of bucks in front of you, make you feel like you want something. Well, at Steven Singer Jewelers, guess what? You don't have to worry about haggling or negotiating. You can just relax. You don't have to worry about whether or not the person next to you is getting a better deal than you are, because at Steven Singer Jewelers, you're getting the perfect price each and every day. One place, one price, the perfect price. Online at IHateStevenSinger.com. That's IHateStevenSinger.com. Who hates Steven Singer? Mostly other jewelers hate Steven Singer because of that perfect price. Always fast and free shipping online at IHateStevenSinger.com. That's IHateStevenSinger.com. How about Manscaped, the leader in below-the-waist grooming? And now you can get 20% off with promo code Farzi at Manscaped.com. That's 20% off and free shipping. Their Platinum Package 4.0 is all you need. It's the best bundle yet for below-the-waist grooming. Because, man, you want to look good everywhere, right? Of course you do. It includes their Lawnmower 4.0 trimmer. It also includes their Weed Whacker ear and nose hair trimmer. And they both come with skin-safe technology that helps reduce the risk of nicks. So you can manscape with confidence and comfort. Manscaped, manscaped.com, promo code Farzi for 20% off and free shipping online at manscaped.com. Join 4 million men worldwide at manscaped.com. How about the amazing, the incredible people at Freestone Farm CBD, freestonefarmcbd.com. If you enjoy CBD, maybe you're looking to switch it up with a different brand. Freestone Farm CBD is where it's at. And plus, you can use promo code Farzi for 20% off your CBD order. You'll be blown away by their all-new strain menu, like their insane tropical-tasting Bayox that clocks in at a chart-topping 24.1%. And their Super CBD, which is half Hindu, checks notes, kush, and 21%. Genetically, these guys are off the charts. And they grow all their premium hemp flower in the Garden State. And they also preserve their plant compound with a perfect three-month cure, like a nice sopressata. Freestone Farm CBD, Freestone Farm CBD. Perfect for someone that's looking to take a more natural approach to everything that they put in their body. Freestone Farms, CBD.com. Promo code Farzi for 20% off. How about Mojo? Mojo, great app. Download it to your phone. Players each have share prices attached to them like their stock. They rise and fall throughout the season and offseason, so there is no offseason with Mojo. Available in New Jersey right now with over 300 skilled players available, from wide receivers to quarterbacks, to tight ends, to running backs. Mojo is where it's at. Their share prices rise and fall. Anything that affects their play on the field, that share price will go up or down. Buy low on a rookie you think is going to end the season on a high note, then sell high at the end of the year and make yourself some money. You can do that with the Mojo app. Plus, $10,000 in share value available when you download the app to your phone and you go to mojo.com for more information. Check out that info at mojo.com. Must be 21 or older, available in New Jersey. Gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER. How about PHL Sports Station, Philadelphia Sports Station, enhancing your Philadelphia sports fan experience across all social media and blogs? That's PHLSportsNation.com. If you're not following it, come on now. Let's get after it. Let's get to the chat check and see how you wonderful people are doing today. Bitter or sweet is the question. How are you waking up this morning? Sweet that the Eagles are 8-0, or bitter that the Phillies are down 3-2 in the World Series and headed to Houston? How you feeling this fine morning? Here we go. Morning, April. Good morning, Kevin. Good morning. All right. Now, April. Morning, fam. What a weird night. Glad for the birds, though. Who had the two TV setup? I'll be honest with you. I rarely do the two TV setup because, as you guys know by now, I've never been tested, but I may be off the charts ADHD. I don't know. But the two TV thing and the phone and the notepad and the two pages of paper flipping back for. Wild, man. Wild. Wild night. I don't know how you guys handled it, but that's how I tried to handle it. Kevin, good morning. What's happening? Good morning, Farzi, everybody. Happy Eagles victory. That's one way to start it off. I feel sweet on the Eagles, and I feel bitter on the Phillies. Well, case in point. Kevin, you're right. April, honestly, if it had been another blowout, I would have felt better. The Phillies get blown out? Like, oh, yeah, this is about right. Next. Let's see. Mopar, good morning. We weren't even supposed to be in the World Series. I'm okay. Mopar, on that note, I have never been the type of guy to be more in the lane of, well, at least they're there, than I have been in, come on, you got to win these games. Like, again, as I said earlier, as the season goes on, your expectations change, and the expectations have changed for the Phillies. So I can't just sit back and go, oh, well, I'm just really happy that they're there, but I'm more in that lane than I am in the, how do you not win this game? Sure, there's things that happen during the game that piss me off. Bohm's at bat in the eighth inning kind of pissed me off. The fact that, again, Hoskins, Real Muto, Castellanos, 0 for 25 in the last two games. No bueno, folks. No bueno. And the fact that Wheeler and Nola to this point have given you nothing in this World Series. That also, that too, is no bueno. But I will say, in watching an 87-win Phillies team that wouldn't be in the playoffs in any other season, A, because of the DH, and B, because of playoff expansion, I do have to say that as this has gone on, I have been more just impressed and just finding myself befuddled that I'm watching the World Series. Like last night, I tweeted out, I just watched the Eagles go 8-0 as I'm watching the Phillies in the World Series. And I know at that point, the Phillies weren't, there was a 3-1 ball game at the time I tweeted that. And I was like, even though the Phillies aren't doing well, I'm still amazed that that's a sentence. The Eagles are 8-0 and the Phillies are in the World Series. And again, now the Phillies are down 3-2 in the series, so that's not good. But just the fact that that's a sentence, this is a statement of fact that I look at and I need it almost on like a marquee to just stare at for a second. And just be like, the Eagles are 8-0 and the Phillies are in the World Series. Are you guys? Come here. Are you seeing? Are you reading? Am I reading that right? That's a good feeling, at least. That they're still in it. They're in the World Series. I know at this point there's a lot of must-win talk. Is it a must-win? Are they in a must-win? Is it a must-win? It's the World Series. I think every game at this point is a must win, but now it's a winner. It's over. So yeah, you gotta win tomorrow night. You gotta win. Boop. Mopar. So thank you for that. Stott needs to go to winter ball and then learn how to hit a fastball. Stott has looked. I'm happy he's grinding out at bats. I'm happy he's seeing more pitches than anybody else. That's what he can do. I think he realizes in this series with this pitching, he's outmatched. So I think his best bet is to be as great as he can be defensively and see as many pitches as possible. I think that's what his attempt is here. So that's at least good. It's good to see a guy acknowledge that he's a little outmatched. Sean, what's up, Sean Gillespie? Good morning, everybody. It isn't over yet. You're damn right it's not over yet. Sean Gillespie, feels like it's over, though. Sean, wait a minute. Hold on. Morning all, it isn't over yet. Next line, Sean, same Sean. Feels like it's over though. Go Phils. Throw everything you have. Yep. Alyssa, good morning, Alyssa. April, sounds like my house. Okay. My friend from high school is marrying Chase McCormick's brother in 2 weeks. That's beautiful. Very nice. Go to the wedding and taunt him. No, all right. Anyway. Yeah, PJ, there you go. Grew up with Chaz, Chaz McCormick, excuse me. I think I did Chase. Chaz McCormick, NJ. Oh, that's very cool. And Alyssa says that is very cool. Westchester connection. Yeah, PJ is a Westchester guy. So, you know what that means? He knows how to party. Alyssa, I don't want to be your friend anymore. Folds arms and pouts. I like that. It's become very common nowadays in social media too. Type your action, like stage direction, fold arms and pouts. Eagles game looked sloppy last night. They need to get it together before the Titans game for sure. I agree. Yeah, sorry, but don't care about your local success story right now. Very good point. Kev Fitz, what's up, Kev? Wednesday morning, everyone was planning the parade for Sunday. Yeah, you're damn right we were. Morning, Alyssa, Mopar, Sean saying good morning. Mopar, hello. Eagles fans are the GOAT. Absolutely. April, love us. Please don't leave Dan Snyder or Carson Wentz. Sean, I concur. But here's the thing. I weigh my morals with the fact that I like watching my football team beat up on another football team. And I also like this. I like that FedEx Field, although it's a terrible stadium and it smells like poop. Literally, that's not a metaphor. I like the fact that it's like an extra home game for us. I was like, well, the Eagles aren't home. Oh, they're 2 hours away. Okay, I can make that. I like that. Zepper, 1089. Philly's run was fun, fever dream, but now it's finished. Oh, well. Come on! Seth, Melon, what's going on? Honestly, prop bets on Hoskins and Harper killing. Jim Grassmeter, what's up, Jim? What a bad Friday watching the Phillies leave 27 people on base. We'll do that. I got to tell you right now, I am thrilled that it's Friday. I got to take the kids to some doctor's appointments today. And then after that, I'm going to do some yard work. Really, and I'm pumped for it because I got this. This is an endorsement, but it's not paid. It's not an advertisement. I got the Black & Decker leaf vacuum. I am dadding so hard right now by how excited I am about this. I got the Black & Decker leaf vacuum and blower, and it shreds the leaves, and it comes with a backpack. And the only thing is it has a cord. Whatever. I actually like the cord because I live in the city. So it's like, oh, I can't get your sidewalk because the cord. Can't get it. Anyway. But I do a vast majority of my block, for the record. I'm a good neighbor. So anyway, I was going to buy it, but I'm like, that's a little, not price-wise, because it was only like $75 for this, which I was like, I would pay like $200 for this. But my wife goes, are you going to get that? And I go, that's a little extra. The backpack and everything. She goes, just get it. You'll look like a Ghostbuster. And I go, you know how to sell me. So I bought it. And, taking care of the leaves. Anyway. But anyway, I'm going to be using it later today, and I'm really excited about it. Second time I'm going to be using it this year. That'll be my Friday. Mihai Sanchez. What's up, buddy? At least the NFL's NFC isn't deep. Very true. Dusty, welcome back, Dusty. What's up, dude? Heartbreaker last night. So we love stop to second and go hard after Turner. Yep, pretty much. Beef up pitching this offseason. You're gonna need some more pitching. You're gonna need another bat in this lineup, which is crazy to think about. Even though I think Castellanos is gonna bounce back next year, the thing that still sells me is that Bryce Harper said that Trey Turner is his favorite player. When he said that, I was like, oh, so Trey Turner is going to be a Philly. All right. Mopar, two TV set up here. Third one, not on. Laugh out loud. yeah, Seth, I'll read this. Astros are notorious taint ticklers. We'll make that a promo for the show. Mopar, misunderstood what I said. Damn you, Farzi. Love you, buddy. What did I misunderstand? I don't want to misunderstand anybody. Let me just scroll back real quick. Yeah, sorry, homie. Whatever I said, Mopar said, he said it in a better light. There we go. That's my disclaimer for you. Jim, what's going on? I'm definitely bitter today. I'm a bitter Betty today. Not a negative Nancy, but a bitter Betty. It's one thing to lose, but to watch them continue to choke with men on base is a joke. You're right, Jim. Seth Mellon, inversely, you don't know baseball. Wait, what? Oh, maybe that wasn't for me. Little bitter over Gannon, too. He's going to prevent the Eagles from going far. Make an adjustment for once. Pasquale Cornelio? Or do you go, Gilio? Do you pronounce the G? What's your deal? Pasquale, welcome in. call Phyllis. I think that's mean Phillies. Call Phillies, Eagles, Flyers, and fire Doc. Pasquale? Not molto bene. Let's see. Alyssa, I went to Westchester University, so I also know how to party. Alyssa, there you go. Boop. Mopar, what the hell? What is happening? No one understands Mopar is fine. I can picture you doing all the yard work this weekend. April? I'll take a selfie. Dusty, Marsh, Stott, Bohm, and Nick Castellanos can only hit better this upcoming season, right? I like how we're already at the upcoming season. It's possible. Thanks to everybody in the chat. You guys are great as per usual. Let's get in the morning rush. Brought to you by Sky Motorcars, skymotorcars.com. Phillies, Astros, off tonight. Game 6 of the World Series. Tomorrow night in Houston, 8:03, Framber Valdez and his wacky tacky on his wrist goes against Zach Wheeler. I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to pick the Phillies to lose. I'm going to say they're going to win. They're going to force game 7. I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to pick them to lose. They're going to grind out at bats and get to that pretty damn stellar bullpen. So that's fun. That's fun. That's fun. 8:03 tomorrow night. Sixers back at it tonight. They got a 7 o'clock tip-off against the Knicks. They host the Knicks, looking to bounce back from their loss to the Wizards. James Harden, the Woj bomb yesterday, that James Harden suffered a right foot tendon strain and is expected to miss a month. Was not cool, Woj. Thanks. As I responded to his tweet yesterday, I got a Philly scene that just got no hit in the World Series, and you lay this on me? Anyway, so now it's 100% Tyrese Maxey's team until Joel Embiid comes back, and hopefully that'll be tonight. Cross our fingers for that. So that's where we're at right now. Flyers, they're going to be back on the ice tomorrow night. They're on a road trip right now. It'll be the third game of their road trip. They'll try to avoid a fourth straight loss. They go against the Ottawa Senators tomorrow night, and that's where we're at. Thanks for watching. Thanks for listening, ladies and gentlemen. The union. I want to make sure I got the union in here. Oh, I also want to plug this. For more of me, check me out on the Jacob Media YouTube channel. I'll be a guest of Jeff Kerr coming up with Good Morning NFC East. So that's coming up practically right now. Union. Go for the championship, 4 o'clock tomorrow against the LA Football Club. Let's go, Union. And my boys over there. Slight underdogs in this one. Good times. Thanks for watching. Thanks for listening. Have a great weekend. Let's go, Phils. Let's hope this isn't the last Phillies game. Let's hope tomorrow night isn't the last Phillies game that we talk about. Thanks for watching. Thanks for listening. I'm Mark Farzetta. This is the Farzy Show, presented by Steven Singer. Steven Singer Jewelers. Jim Hyde produced the Westchester product. That's the town, Westchester. Westchester product. Jim Hyden produced the program. Friend of Chaz McCormick produced the program. This is a Buzz Sports Entertainment production. This is the Farzy Show presented by Steven Singer Jewelers. Have a wonderful weekend, everybody. And I'll enjoy the Phillies, the Flyers, the Sixers, the Union. I'll enjoy the Phillies, and I'll enjoy the yard work. Have a great day, everybody. See ya.